Good morning. I want to apologize for the technical difficulties. We are live on this Memorial Day morning, and I am Lee Rayburn sitting in for Kate Archer Kent today. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network on a Memorial Day that just doesn't feel the same. In a state of almost 6 million people, at least as of last Monday, more than 675,000 recent unemployment claims have been left unprocessed in Wisconsin. About 1.4 million new unemployment claims are already being paid out, that according to the Department of Workforce Development. Our unemployment rate jumped over 10 points in April, with numbers not seen since the Great Depression, if you're fortunate enough not to count yourself among those ranks yet. Can't help but worry, and it can't help but hurt to prepare. So this morning, we're joined by a labor and employment law attorney here to answer your questions and help wherever he can. So what do you need to know here? 1-800-642-1234 is the number, and we are live this morning. You can email your questions to ideas@wpr.org. Attorney Victor Forberger joins us. He's based out of Madison. Victor, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Let's begin with your blog. You write a blog about unemployment, and you've written about the backlog of claims at the Department of Workforce Development. The numbers I have are from a week ago. What have you seen since then?
I'm not in constant contact with the department's insiders giving me information, because that's how I'm getting my information. If I file open records requests, the department says it doesn't have the information. And then I ask friends of mine who work at the department and people who've contacted me, and they provide me the information that I'm asking for. Those numbers indicate, you know, there are basically boxes of mail that have yet to be cataloged and processed. And I'm seeing that in my own practice where, forms that can't even get mailed out on time because there's just the system is overwhelmed by the number of claims that are being processed.
So how long typically would it take for someone to receive unemployment funds?
Normally it's about 2 weeks to 3 weeks. In most states it's a two-week process. In Wisconsin, it's always been a relatively longer process because Wisconsin has a lot of steps in the process because they've created a very complicated and difficult process that has to be completed in full before they'll pay any benefits out.
Victor, did they make that process? Did they make that easier in this pandemic?
No, they haven't changed one bit of it. In fact, whenever there's a possibility where they could make it simpler, they've chosen to make it more complicated and difficult. And so that's affecting the workers because they still have to process everything exactly as if there is no pandemic, but there is a pandemic. And so it's creating more and more of a backlog and more of a problem.
So if you are unemployed and you have filed for unemployment but have yet to receive your funds, is there any action you can take?
No, you have to wait and keep waiting. I mean, so what typically happens, you file a claim for unemployment. The department sends out at least two forms. Most states only send out one, and some states have eliminated the form completely. But in Wisconsin, they send out two forms to the employer at a minimum, asking for wage verification and discharge reasons verification. And these forms they are usually spaced a week apart. So that's why it's 2.5 to 3 weeks minimum in Wisconsin before they pay out any benefits, because they have to wait for these forms to be processed. So if the employer is shut down or they don't respond to these forms because they're shut down for some other reason, the states will simply have to wait at least 3 weeks before it gets no response from the employer before it will then say, all right, maybe I got to pay benefits. And if the employer then responds and puts in some wrong information or information that disagrees with what the claimant has put down, then that triggers an investigation,
which would stop any sort of payout until that investigation would be completed.
Exactly.
Victor Forberger joining us, an employment attorney based out of Madison. And Victor, many of your clients are people with disabilities. You're helping them getting paid due to their financial situation. What issues are your clients seeing and facing right now?
Well, so Wisconsin has decided that the disabled should not get any PUA benefits at all. And we're the only state doing this in the nation. PUA, so the CARES Act provided all these additional federal unemployment benefits. And there's the two main ones are the $600 PUC benefit that people are talking about, where you're getting additional $600 through the end of July for anyone who gets any kind of unemployment benefit. And then the PUA is this federal program that was put forward to say, look, people who will lose work because of this pandemic and who can't qualify for regular unemployment because they're a gig worker or for because they have run out of unemployment money or they don't have enough earnings in regular unemployment to qualify, like they're a housekeeper for maybe a couple weeks out of the year and they've earned like $600. And now they need some unemployment benefits to help get them through this because that housekeeping work is no longer available to them. This PUA program is to say, look, we will, through federal money, provide unemployment to all these other folks because the whole point of the CARES Act was we're in an economic, you know, pandemic-type recession here, and we need to stimulate the economy with federal money that people will have in their hands to then spend. I mean, that's the whole point of the unemployment system is economic stimulus in times of recession and depression. Wisconsin has decided that PUA benefits will not be going out to the disabled because they're saying that state law, which right now prohibits them from getting getting regular unemployment benefits. And so there's provision in the CARES Act that says that anyone who is prohibited from getting regular unemployment because of state law will be eligible for PUA. And Wisconsin is saying, no, that doesn't apply here. The state law still prevails. And so they've decided that they're not going to get any unemployment whatsoever, regular and PUA benefits. And so these are people who have been out of work since March. They get an SSDI check of between 600 and I think the highest client I have right now is about 1,100 a month. That's what they're supposed to live on right now, and they can't. That's why they were working part-time to make ends meet. And now they can't work, and they need the unemployment benefits, and the state's saying, sorry, you don't get it. And it's basically ignoring the text of the act, and it's created a workaround that is legally doubtful. Deny them benefits.
And are there other states that are following suit in Wisconsin, or is Wisconsin an outlier?
Wisconsin is the only state doing this. There's one other state that has this kind of prohibition on regular unemployment benefits for SSDI folks. That's North Carolina. Not a question, North Carolina. North Carolina started paying out benefits, PUA benefits, to the disabled immediately. And they're already paying out benefits. Wisconsin is also one. We're one of the last states to even begin paying out PUA benefits. Again, because of all the difficult processes that have been put in place, it's made it that much harder to do anything in the state.
And these were processes that were in place before this pandemic began, and they have not budged since then, correct?
Right, exactly.
Victor Forberger is a labor and employment law attorney based in Madison, and if you have a question for him, we'll try to find an answer for you this morning at 1-800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. What are your clients telling you, Victor, about where they are this morning?
They're desperate. I mean, they're, about 2 weeks ago now, I started getting these calls. People, they're crying. They've got kids who are hungry, and because they've had no income at all. And then they started hearing this from the department through back channels that they're going to be denied the PUA benefits. And
so
then
what happens
I looked
in a couple weeks? What happens in a month?
They're not. So I'm appealing these cases, and this goes back to how you started with the backlog. I don't expect a hearing at the earliest until August or September, which is they can't wait that long. Literally, they cannot wait that long. So I don't understand what Wisconsin is doing here. I don't understand what Wisconsin is doing here with a whole host of changes, why they are still mandating these forms all the time. Why aren't they making the process simpler and easier to use? Instead, Wisconsin has spent the last decade or so making this incredibly complicated process. and difficult to manage. And so then, and people are not, you know, understanding it completely like I am as a, you know, an attorney, and then they're being denied benefits.
Yeah,
and that's how the system is designed.
You're a labor law attorney, and it sounds like you are frustrated with the way the system works. And if that's the case for an attorney, I can't imagine what it's like for your clients. Victor Forberger is our guest this morning, an employment attorney from Madison. And if you have a question for him, we'll see if we can't find an answer for you this morning at 1-800-642-1234. I'd be interested to know if you applied for the PUA, the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance, and what result, if any, that you received. That's that federal program that Victor was talking about. Where are you in the state's unemployment insurance system right now? Do you find yourself feeling that encroaching sense of helplessness? What can we do to help? 1-800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. Victor Forberger, attorney at law, continues after the news. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. A couple of weeks ago now, more than 4 million calls were made to the Unemployment Division of Wisconsin's Department of Workforce Development, which, by the way, is looking to quickly hire more than 500 new temporary and permanent employees. While there are plans to expand calling hours, there remains, for many, a clear and repeated disconnect between the system and the people for whom it was created. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network, and I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent, and we're live this morning helping where we can on this Memorial Day with our guest, Victor Forberger, a labor and employment law attorney based in Madison, and you have a direct line to him at 1-800-642-1234, or email your questions to ideas at WPR.org. Sharon from Ashland is joining us this morning with a question. Sharon, what would you like to know?
Well, I would like to know why there aren't more ways to apply. I lost my job at the end of March and quickly found out that I wasn't being allowed to apply by phone. I was told I couldn't apply by phone, that I had to use their website. I don't have internet access. That's part of the reason I lost my job, because my employer decided that only employees who were able to work from home could keep their jobs. And so I had no way to apply because I couldn't apply online since I don't have internet service. And that's not my choice or my problem. I live in an area of the state that simply doesn't have the infrastructure in to get internet service. And our local public library, which had, you know, typically been a way you could go and get access to internet service if you didn't have any of your own, it had closed down for the pandemic. So I've basically been sitting at home with no unemployment and no way to apply for unemployment. So I wanted to know why there isn't some way that a person can fill out a paper form rather than being required to use the website or some other means that would require you to have more technology access available to you.
Victor?
Yeah, that's a great question and a great point, because lots of other states, California, has instituted like mail-in processes for submitting information. You can file your claim by mail in California, by phone, and by online. Most states still have phone and online systems. Wisconsin is one of the few states, I don't know of any states that have gone to online only, except for Wisconsin. And the reason Wisconsin did it is they wanted to make this process more difficult and complicated. And so if you, when I don't know, Sharon, if you've been able to file online, you know, you could, if you go to my, if you search for my name in Wisconsin Employment, you'll get my blog and search, and I've got links to find Wi-Fi hotspots there. Because, yeah, this is a huge problem in northern Wisconsin. I represent a lot of people up in northern Wisconsin, and the only way we can get information back and forth is through fax. Because there is no online access in a lot of the states, and you know, and you have to try. You can't do things on your phone in this tiny little screen with a spotty connection. Wisconsin needs to get a phone system back up and running for filing online claims.
We had a phone system, right? I seem to remember we had a phone system.
We had a phone system. It got eliminated, I think, two, three years ago. I don't know the exact date. I have it on my blog. It's in part, again, it's to make the system more inaccessible and difficult. That's the point of the unemployment system right now. And I mean, right now, if you do the online claim, it takes you about an hour to fill out all the questions. It's like doing your taxes.
You're an employment attorney, and I understand, Victor, that this is your perspective. And I'm just trying to figure out. So your argument is they intentionally made it more difficult to apply for unemployment. I'm trying to figure out what the counter argument is to say, actually, we needed to put these in place for regulation. We needed to put these in place for checks and balances. But this is a pandemic.
The department makes that claim, but how come other states can do things so differently than Wisconsin under the federal law that they say they mandate it by federal law? Federal law does not mandate online only. In fact, federal law says you have to provide multiple methods of getting access to the unemployment system, and you have to provide multiple languages and accessibility issues.
This is where
Wisconsin
it gets interesting
that
because
guidance.
This is the law. We seem the state, as an attorney, Victor, you think the state is violating the law. So this is where you would step in, right? This is where the labor attorney would go to the court, would file the papers. What kind of work do you have to put in to get anything out?
Well, that's the problem. Is unemployment is not a lucrative field right now. So there's only, I think, four or five attorneys in the whole state now that handle unemployment cases. Because it's, I mean, for me, it's almost entirely a pro bono practice where I'm doing it for free, or you know, in a couple cases I charge low fees to clientele. But so, given that there's no money in this work, it's pretty much been abandoned, and the department has been able to do what it wants on this field. There's no constituency, no interest group that's organized and mobilized to push back.
Do you feel that it's a level playing field for you?
Well,
as an attorney,
no, but you know, you never want. You know, I'm always fighting. And trying. I mean, the disability issue. I mean, I think that's a no-brainer. The department is clearly ignoring the law here. The problem, though, is it's going to take months to win that case because I won't even get a chance to get heard. And so I'm looking at alternative avenues to kind of force that issue.
Victor, let's take a moment to look at this system and still available for questions this hour if you have any, 1-800-642-1234 or ideas at WPR.org. Mention at the start after the news that the Department of Workforce Development's Unemployment Division received more than 4 million calls a couple of weeks ago. What is this system that we're talking about? What is this system that's been overwhelmed in this pandemic?
Well, yeah, because, again, you can't – their website, if you go to different states, you go to Connecticut, you go to New York, you go to Michigan now. Michigan used to have a very similar unemployment system to ours. They've turned it around the past year, and under this pandemic, they've already, by April 25th, I think the weekend in April 25th, they had paid out almost 1 million PUA claims. Wisconsin has yet to pay out any PUA claims.
Zero?
So... through executive order, Michigan has kind of waived a bunch of requirements that they mandated, exactly the same kind of requirements that Wisconsin mandated. And Michigan just said, we're not going to enforce those anymore through executive order. So there's all kinds of ways that they could make this system easier.
Well, I don't know if executive power would be a way here. What would you suggest
They could follow the law in various ways, but if they made the system easier, then there would be fewer claims to process, fewer investigations, fewer things for the department staff to do, and you could get payments out and answers quicker than you could right now, and then people would not need to call to figure out what is going on because they're waiting for weeks on end with no information and no response from the department. So
what's
the
your experience?
Call backlog.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, the call backlog is a byproduct of the department's desire or impetus to make this process as complicated, as difficult as possible.
The Department of Workforce Development website says for help using online services, or if you're unable to go online, you can call 414-435-7069. That's 414-435-7069, or toll free at 844-910-3661. And that's during business hours, which they expect to expand at some point. But to reduce waiting times, if your last name begins with A through M, you'd call Monday through Friday from 7 to noon. And if it's N through Z, you'd call Monday through Friday from noon to 5. That's from the Department of Workforce Development site.
Yeah, they've created this, you know, again, you have to, and you've got to search on their website to find that info.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like lots of other departments, they'll have, you download the handbook, and you get a copy of the handbook in the mail. Wisconsin doesn't even give you a copy of the handbook. You have to download it yourself. So, like Sharon's, she doesn't have limited online access. She can't even download the handbook that's supposed to provide her all this guidance.
It's not that there's a disconnect.
Because they're an online-only system.
Yeah, there's not a chance to connect even for Sharon, who called earlier from Ashland. Do we see unemployment insurance fraud in Wisconsin, and if so, to what degree?
Wisconsin is the most aggressive state. We are by far the most aggressive state on charging unemployment fraud. And this is something I want to emphasize to folks who are applying for PUA and regular unemployment right now.
Let me clarify. PUA is Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. That's that federal
program. Pandemic Unemployment Assistance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is Wisconsin will charge fraud right now if you make a mistake, an unintentional mistake. So, for example, I've had cases right now, and they presume that the mistake is intentional and that you are attempting to rob the bank, essentially. Even if, you know, it's purely by accident or you actually didn't do anything wrong. If the department thinks you did something wrong, they're going to charge you with fraud. And the department actually collects 2.5%. Well, there's a 40% administrative penalty, and they get to keep 25% and put it in their own kitty. So the department actually has a financial incentive to charge fraud against claimants because they make money off of it. And there's, like, right now about $12 million in their program integrity fund that essentially money they collected off this 25% administrative fee, the forfeiture fee that they charge claimants.
We've got a break coming up here, but are we seeing unemployment fraud in Wisconsin, though?
It's never changed. The department is very aggressive, and they've been charging it as eagerly as they can. And what I worry about is all the people who are going to be collecting benefits. A few months from now, the department has a separate unit that reinvestigates claims that are paid out, and that they're going to charge people with fraud. And with a $6 puck and the 370, they're going to have to pay back a ton of money.
We may need more unemployment law attorneys like our guest, Victor Forberg, based out of Madison. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer Kent this morning, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Unemployment numbers surpassed Great Recession levels more than a month ago now. And can it feel like the opposite of a consolation to be so far, far from alone in this? And I know it. I also know that this too shall pass, even if it doesn't feel like it right now. Give it time and a little help, which is why we're starting our morning with Victor Forberger, a labor and employment law attorney based in Madison, answering my questions and yours. Filling in for Kate Archer Kent, I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Get your questions in now, please, at 1-800-642-1234 or ideas at WPR.org for our guest, Victor Forberger. Richard's in Two Rivers. Richard, what's your question for our labor and employment attorney?
Yeah, I have a serious problem. I was getting harassed on the job by another worker, and I asked the plant foreman to take manager to take care of it. And 2 weeks kept going by, and the person kept harassing me. And so I told him I was leaving. I couldn't work under those conditions. So I filed for unemployment, and it's been pending for 2.5 months. I can't get through to unemployment. And I called the boss of the company and told him the situation, and the plant manager told him I walked off the job and never covered. He was covering his own butt. So what could I do?
Sorry, Richard.
Victor? All right. Have you had any interview at all from the department?
They tried calling me once, and they said it was a recording, and then it went, as soon as I said hello, and she said, hello, this is a recording I'm calling from, I think she was calling from Little Chute, and it hung up on me right away.
Yeah, so the department's got to investigate this quit, and so what typically happens here is, in these cases, right now, the department is supposed to kind of reverse the burns of proof. And so if the employer says, you just walked off the job, they're going to believe that unless you can dispositively prove that what the employer is saying is wrong. So at some point, I would expect you'd be denied benefits, and then you're going to have to go to a hearing and then argue it out with the administrative law judge. And you're probably not going to get that hearing at the earliest now until August or September. And I'm sorry I can't give you better news. And what you said right there, that's classic example of a quit for good cause. We don't need to go into the details of the harassment, and the harassment's got to be severe enough and of a kind that would warrant quitting. But it sounds to me, if you've met that criteria, I mean, you told your employer about it, you asked them to do something, they failed. And so, if the harassment is severe enough, you would have good cause for quitting. And it should be a pretty clear-cut case. And in most states, you would be approved for benefits. And it would be up to the employer to appeal that approval. But in Wisconsin, my guess is likely you are going to be denied benefits, and you're going to have to fight for that approval, and you're not going to get a hearing till August or September.
What fixes do we need to put in place for Wisconsin right now, as you see it, Victor?
Well, start following the law. there's a presumption of eligibility in the law. And during these investigations, claimants are supposed to be believed as a matter of course. So you take the claimant's statement and then you say, yep, this is what happened. And unless the employer can definitively disprove that, the claimant's supposed to be approved for benefits. But in Wisconsin, they've kind of reversed that process during these investigations now. And I've seen tons of cases in which the employer denies these events happen. Like, oh, the employer's denial wins the day. So when it comes to following the law,
what's the fix in that? Is that a fix in the judiciary? The legislature's already got the law in the books. How do you get the reality to match?
The people who run the department need to start following the law. I mean, this is we had an election, and unfortunately, it has caused a change in governorship, but it has not caused a change at the department level.
What do the attorneys for the Department of Workforce Development say to you when you when you're working on cases with them?
Everything is fine and hunky dory, and they are following the law. I mean, go back to the concealment thing. They say every concealment case is intentional. The problem with that claim is, in the one data point we have concealment cases from 2014, and of the cases that were appealed, 70% of them were overturned. That's a phenomenal number. What that is telling me is that in almost all these cases where the department charged concealment, when someone actually looked at it, they said, no, this was not intentional fraud. This was an accidental mistake. And I've got cases in which there's not even a mistake, and the department still charges concealment. This is, the department says one thing, but reality is much different. And it just, people need to push back. And unfortunately, the pushback takes a lot of effort and time. And for a lot of folks, when they're unemployed, you don't have effort and time. You got to pay the bills.
Victor Forberg, I want to thank you for your time, but we're out of it this morning. But thank you for sharing it with us.
All right. Take care. Victor
Forberger, thank you, sir. Labor and employment law attorney based in Madison, Wisconsin. Over 30,000 Wisconsinites with disabilities require some level of care or support. Most of that is done in person, even during the pandemic. And as Bram Sable-Smith reports, that makes people with disabilities particularly dependent on the actions of the broader community.
When the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the state's Safer at Home order last week, Matt Ford said it was hard not to take it personally.
No one's recognizing the effort that we made as vulnerable people who need caregivers in and out of their homes.
Ford lives in Verona and is quadriplegic following a diving accident back in 1987. His father is his primary caregiver, but Ford still hires workers to help with tasks like running errands, making meals, and using the bathroom. One of those caregivers is Grace Burnett, who's worked with Ford on and off since 2016, when she saw his posting on the UW student job board.
It was like free-range quad looking for grocery help or something. I was like, okay, this guy seems funny.
Caregivers are already in short supply in Wisconsin. A recent report found a shortage of over 20,000. And when the pandemic hit, Ford was down to just two. It could have been less if Burnett had gone home to Rice Lake. Instead, she moved into Ford's basement to limit her contact with outsiders.
You know, he only has one other caregiver. I mean, that would be really selfish of me to just say sayonara, I'm going to go quarantine with my family when he needs the help.
Ford knows that sacrifice was made on his behalf, and he worries it could be for naught if the state opens too quickly and the virus spreads through the community.
I mean, I don't want people to go out of business either. You know, I do care about them. I have some empathy towards that. But I also don't want to die.
And Ford was fortunate to have his caregivers stay on. That was not the case for Stacy Ellingen. Cerebral palsy limits her mobility and fine motor skills, and she depends on care workers to live independently in an apartment in Oshkosh. But two of her three workers were nursing students, and when their classes were canceled, they left town, forcing Ellingen to move home with her parents in Fond du Lac. She uses an app on her phone to speak out loud.
I'm fortunate my parents are still able to do my cares, but it's a less than ideal situation for both myself and my parents.
Still, Ellingen feels lucky. The pandemic is threatening to deplete the caregiving workforce even more. If her parents weren't able to help, she says she'd likely need to live in a nursing home.
That's the last place anyone wants to be, especially during a pandemic.
The nationwide shortage of protective gear is also rippling through the disability community. Caregivers are having a hard time competing with hospitals and other providers over masks and gloves. That led Jason Endress to ask his caregivers not to come to his house in Eau Claire. Complications from spina bifida mean Endress has weakened lungs, and knowing that his caregivers work at multiple people's houses, he's not willing to risk having them come to his without proper masks.
There's so much COVID going around that if I can control my own environment, that's what I'm going to do.
So far, Endress says he and his wife, who has cerebral palsy, are managing. But tasks like shopping and cleaning take longer and happen less often. Advocates are calling on caregivers to be prioritized to receive protective gear. If life is going to resume, that's one way to help protect the disability community. But Matt Ford says even then, he can't help but be a little apprehensive.
Before, when everybody was pretty hunkered down, you felt like the people that were coming in were okay. Now there's a little more doubt.
And with the state set to reopen, that's the risk people who depend on in-home care are being asked to shoulder. Bram Sable-Smith, Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.